The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, man, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. I am telling you, my cup runneth over. Welcome to The Big Show. Come to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Did you see this Q13 video?
Which one? No.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Of what?
So Q13, and let me preface my comments, because I have a lot of friends at Q13. Brandy Cruz is a good friend. David Rose is a friend. Sure. I think they have a lot of great journalists, and I think they do a lot of great work. And I don't think the acts of one staffer reflect the news operation there, because I think they do a really good job there. So our friend Todd Herman over on KTTH broke this story yesterday that they're running a promo of Donald Trump's Oval Office address. And in the promo, first of all, they make Donald Trump about 12 shades of orange, orangier.
No way.
Yes. And then they have a video that you can get on My Northwest, side by side of what the president said and what Q13 put in the promo. And the words match up exactly until Donald Trump licks his lips after saying a few words for about a quarter second. In the Q13 promo, Donald Trump, his tongue comes through his mouth slowly, like he has, like a lizard, like a lizard with dementia.
Okay, again, this is on a promo.
A promo that aired on Q13.
Did it air more than once, or was it a...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I have not seen
one of, Todd's listeners who's in law enforcement caught this, and they put the side-by-side videos, and you see Trump's tongue come through his mouth very slowly, and then they loop it, and it comes out of his mouth again. Which and it was literally about a quarter second, just he was licking his lips in real life. But in this Q13 video, it made Trump look demented. It also looks like, Todd talked to some video experts, it looks like they digitally distorted his mouth and side and part of his head. So they
and this yes. for sure ran on Q13.
Oh,
this is
believe me, Ursula, because yesterday Todd's show reached out to Q13, and Erica Hill is the news director there, and everything I know about her is terrific.
Absolutely.
And she said, this does not meet our editorial standards, and we regret if it is seen as portraying the president in a negative light. And then about 2 hours ago, we got another statement from Q13's news director. We've completed our investigation into this incident and determined that the actions were the result of an individual editor whose employment has been terminated.
Well, there you go.
So first of all, good for Q13. They acted decisively and they fired the person involved. But I will tell you that this is just a fact of so much of what's going on these days, that there are some people, I mean, this guy, or I don't know if it's a man or woman, the editor, this person hated the president of the United States so much, they were willing to put their career on the line. Their hatred for the president trumped them earning a paycheck. And whether people want to accept it or not, there are people in TV stations and radio stations and newspapers and every other industry in our country today, not just the media. There are people with such deep-seated hatred of this president that they are willing to lose their job over it. And if people don't understand that this is coloring, in this case literally, if this is coloring how things are being presented, you're delusional. And again, Q13, this does not reflect on them as a news operation.
And I want to emphasize, too, I mean, as long as we're pointing out, it does not reflect on them as a news organization. And I don't think it reflects the news organizations as a whole.
No,
I mean,
I know that there are people in every news organization who have personal hatred. I know that there are people here who have personal hatred for the president.
Who would alter?
No. I'm just telling you that there are people in every industry who are willing to have a distorted perspective.
And do you think that's something unique to this particular president? Or
yes.
Do you think that's with every presidency?
It is 100 times, maybe 1,000 times more with this president than anyone who has preceded
him. What you've described, and I'm glad that Q13 wasted no time in ending that person's career, but that is despicable.
Yeah, it is. And so go to MyNorthwest.com and you can see the video, the distorted video that made the president super orange and look like a lizard sticking his tongue out a couple of times when the actual video, it was a quarter second lick of his lips.
I mean, who has the time?
That's another thing. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how this went down, but I just find the entire thing to be reflective of such a level of personal animus towards this guy. And look, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to go through his sound bites from this morning where he blatantly lies. I will call out Trump as a liar. I wish that everyone else in the media would call out how Schumer and Hillary and Obama are liars right now about the border wall. But I will see things fairly. I feel like not very many people do that. I've not heard too many people point out the hypocrisy and the lies from Chuck Schumer, who used to support a border barrier and now is adamantly against it because of who the president is. And yet, when Trump lies, which he did this morning, I'll play that for you at 12:30. I'll call it out. But I'm also going to call out both sides. But right now, we are seeing an attack from the media against a president of the United States that is unprecedented. Now, it's not a conspiracy, and Channel 13 did the right thing. They got rid of this guy. But there are people like that in every single industry these days, and their judgment's distorted. And sorry the guy lost a man or woman, don't know. Sorry the person lost their job. But if you're willing to have your judgment so distorted by personal hatred for somebody, then you get what's coming to you. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
When school district after school district after school district started giving teachers gigantic pay raises at the beginning of this school year, I told you it was not sustainable. I told you that within 1 year in many districts, within 2 years in all, that they would not be able to sustain these pay raises. And we are now starting to see the results of that. Down in Vancouver, Washington, they have announced an $11.4 million budget deficit for the coming school year. And they say salary deals with teachers and support staff are partly to blame. And so now they're going to have to make program and staff cuts in light of the expected deficit. And this is a case where the naked greed of the teachers' union, and you know, we talked about this, in some districts, teachers are making $80,000 a year and got a massive raise on that. They were making way more than the people who live in their district for a 70% job, time-wise, with all the time that they get off. It's a 70% job. And because the teachers' union was so nakedly greedy in its ambition for these, you know, screwing over the taxpayers, but not only the taxpayers, the students, the kids that they purported. You know, they when they go on strike, they always say it's for the children. And then we find out they have to make program cuts. Now, because of it, this is the canary in the coal mine, the Vancouver School District announcing this, because this is going to happen in every district in the state. So what's the response from the school district? Well, one of the school board members would not even vote for dealing with this budget crisis because she said, I'm afraid it's going to reflect poorly on the teachers' union. Well, Yeah, that's because the teachers' union decided they would rather get an unrealistic bump in salary than keep programs that are there for the kids. And so she says the problem is with the legislature. They're not getting enough money from the taxpayers. Now, that might be a huge surprise to you. If your property taxes have gone up $1,000, $2,000 more the last couple of years because of schools, you are paying a massive tax increase to pay for these teacher salaries. And it's not enough. So now they're going to have to do one of two things. Cut programs within every school district, or their preferred option, raise our taxes to pay for, and, you know, down in Vancouver, for example, their average teacher's making about $60,000. The average salary is about $50,000. So people who are earning less are going to have their taxes raised to give more money to somebody who works 70% of the year. Does that make any sense at all? That we're going to have individual family budgets screwed over? But that's now going to be the rallying cry. The legislature has to fix this. The legislature has to raise taxes. We had the superintendent of public instruction come on my show and say that he wants an income tax in our state to pay for these teacher salaries. Because even though we're spending more in taxes, we're spending more on teachers than ever before, they got massive raises. And he says, no, we need an income tax now so we can sustain these raises. This was, and I am doing a big, huge, fat I told you so. This was a royal screwing of the taxpayers by the teachers' unions in this state. They knew it wasn't sustainable. They knew that they were going to lead to budget deficits. And now it's starting to come home to roost. So much more to come on this one. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I did a story 6 months ago about a guy who just gets shuffled from one city department to another here in Seattle. Back in August of last year, what was that, about 6 months ago? Fred Podesta. Mayor Jenny Durkin announced that Fred Podesta will direct the work of the navigation team at Human Services Department and oversee expanded outreach to deal with the homelessness crisis. I wanted to know, what kind of background does this guy have? What kind of expertise does Fred Podesta have to deal with the homelessness crisis? And by the way, Fred, bang up job. I never see a homeless person on the streets around here. Kudos. So I wanted to know, what's this guy's expertise? And so I looked into his background. Well, 2.5 years ago, the accused child rapist mayor at the time, Ed Murray, he made Fred Podesta the head of the Finance and Administrative Services. Oh, no. Fred had been the head of Finance and Administrative Services. And then Ed Murray named him Director of City Operations. So he was going to be Ed Murray's liaison to city departments. Well, guess what? 6 months after his last bureaucrat job in the city, Fred Podesta just has been named the new Chief Operations Officer of the Seattle School District. Now, let me tell you a little bit about becoming an expert in anything. It takes time. When I started doing a radio talk show, I had no clue what I was doing. I had no clue. I know a lot of you are saying, you have no clue now. I'm pretty good at my craft now after 25 years because I've worked really hard at it. You can't become an expert in something if all you do is move from one city bureaucrat job to another. But that's what's going on in Seattle. You know, the accused child rapist, he added 1,600 city employees, just bureaucrats, who make on average Six figures, $100,000 a year. But this guy, Fred Podesta, how what does he have to be chief operations officer of the Seattle School District? You go from the head of finance and administration, then he becomes the liaison to city departments, then he becomes the point person for homelessness, then he becomes the chief operations officer of the Seattle Public Schools. Let me read to you this insane press release from the Seattle Public Schools. Following a nationwide search, netting many highly qualified applicants, Seattle Public Schools has hired an outstanding individual to become our chief operations officer. Fred Podesta brings years of experience to the district, having served the city of Seattle in several leadership roles. The guy's had five jobs now in the last 2.5 years that are only vaguely related to each other. You can't be an expert in anything other than being a bureaucrat, which is what government is about. They feather their own nest. They take care of each other. I saw the job posting for this. He was making $195,000 a year with the Seattle Department of Finance and Administrative Services. They said the top salary for this chief operations officer job is $216,933. So I'm sure he got the top end because he was making $200,000 in his last job. No wonder our streets are riddled with homeless drug addicts. A guy who had no experience was named the director of that department 6 months ago. But then he leaves it immediately to become chief operations officer of the Seattle schools. Five jobs in 2.5 years? Only vaguely related? You cannot be an expert in anything. You can't be great at your job if you just hop from one thing to another so you can get eventually... His goal, I'm going to make over $200,000 tax dollars. By the way, the legislature will have to come up with more tax money for this guy's salary, too, I'm sure. Because wait till you see what the Seattle teacher salaries due to their budget. It's going to be ugly. But this is what we blow the whistle on all the time on our show. Government inefficiency could not possibly be any worse around here. And the shuffling of a bureaucrat. So now they have somebody with no great expertise as the chief operations officer of the Seattle schools. Great choice. Great choice. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then the president had some interesting things to say on his way to Texas this morning. Details coming up here on the Dory Monson Show. I've been checking all your messages on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. It's amazing how many people are defending the editor who got fired at Q13.
On what grounds?
Because they hate the president. Because the texters hate the president so much. It's unbelievable to me.
I just looked at it. You have to look at it. Go to... My Northwest, our listeners should go to MyNorthwest.com. Go, yeah. If you haven't seen it, because we now have a side-by-side. I mean, it's pretty astounding.
No, it's, there's no way you don't get fired. And this is where I say, I don't blame Q13.
You cannot make edits that are going to change reality or what's meant or what, but that's just, it was almost too obvious.
You cannot, look, in our business, you cannot distort reality. For example, this morning, I just got in. I was back in Washington, D.C., and able to talk to the president right before he left for Mexico or for the Mexican border. I was able to get one question in.
Okay, go ahead. Next question.
Hey, Mr. President.
Oh, no.
Dory Monson, Cairo Radio in Seattle.
I can't hear you.
It's a really fresh cologne you're wearing. What scent is that?
Peachy Dory.
It's absolutely delightful, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, that was some good editing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how you made that trip.
Yeah. Well, I'm exhausted right now, too. Believe me. That was... But, yeah, I'll go to the ends of the earth to get the news for our listeners.
I think he's always in the back of you're always in the back of his mind.
I am. No, he used that phrase when he was talking this morning. He said that everything's peachy dory.
Peachy keen, hunky dory,
yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, so now here's where our show is a little bit different. From, I think, most of the others.
It is quite ridiculous how much time I spent on that and how quickly that just went.
Well, we have to make it clear that that was an edit that's not real and we're not trying to pretend it's real.
No. I was there. That was the one question I was able to ask of him this morning. So, the president this morning, he did fly down. He's going to go to the border. He says... And where I think our show is different from most in the media is I recognize a lot of the ridiculousness in the man. I will call out when he lies. I will also call out when Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama lie and how they've all flipped their position on a barrier on the Mexican border because of their personal hatred for the president. And I've played all those sound bites from Schumer and Clinton and Obama, when they all supported a barrier. And they flip-flopped it because they supported the barrier because of their love for the country a few years ago. And now their hatred of Donald Trump is greater than their love of the country. Now, I'll call out the president for the same thing, because here's one of the things he said before going to the border.
So if we had the wall, we could have a tremendous saving. I really believe the steel barrier or wall would pay for itself every 3 or 4 months and maybe even better than that in terms of overall.
But they said, but you told us Mexico was going to pay for it.
The fake news likes to say it. When during the campaign, I would say Mexico's going to pay for it. Obviously, I never said this and I never meant they're going to write out a check. I said they're going to pay for it. They are. They are paying for it with the incredible deal we made called the United States, Mexico and Canada, USMCA deal. It's a trade deal. It has to be approved by Congress. It probably will be, other than maybe they even hold that up because they want to have, you know, they want to do as much harm as they can, only because of the 2020 presidential election.
Okay, now that's just a lie. Because he repeatedly, at campaign stop after campaign stop, said Mexico will pay for the wall. And he certainly didn't parse it and nuance it with, we'll get a better trade deal with them and the money we save in that trade deal, I will then put to the wall. He just said repeatedly that Mexico will pay for it. And he would even have a call and response. And you know who's going to pay for that wall? Mexico! So for him to say that he never said that, it's a lie. And that's what makes this so confounding. And this is where I think I stand, maybe not alone, but in kind of rarefied air. Because I look at this dispute between liars like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump, who is a liar, provably, with that soundbite. And I'm willing to call both sides liars. And I do not think that there are very many people who are taking that approach and are willing to be open-minded about how, how often do we have local media that constantly call Donald Trump a liar? How often have they talked about how Jay Inslee blatantly lied on this radio show about taxation and spending? I mean, Jay Inslee is every bit the liar that Donald Trump is. Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, they're every bit the liar that Donald Trump is. Nobody in politics has moral superiority over anybody else. But sadly, there aren't very many places that'll call out both sides. And I would love to see, here in Seattle, I would love to see the Trump-hating media give the same level of scrutiny to a governor who pledged that he would not raise taxes and has signed off on the three biggest tax increases in the history of the state of Washington. In the history, after telling you and me on this show that he would not support any tax increases. I would love to see that level of scrutiny. Okay, more from the president this morning before he got on the helicopter. He talked about the government shutdown.
I have the absolute right to declare a national emergency. The lawyers have so advised me. I'm not prepared to do that yet, but if I have to, I will. I have no doubt about it. I will.
Now, I support a wall. I think that if he declares a national emergency, that makes things really dicey in the future when there's a Democrat president who wants to call a national emergency for some far left, you know, climate change or something like that, and work beyond Congress. I mean, the reason why our government works is because we do have checks and balances. And by the way, Barack Obama was one of the worst at presidential declarations where he would impose things by edict rather than through compromise. And so I hope that they can find a way around this. I hope that the Democrats will admit, yeah, we used to support a border barrier and now we just hate the president, but that's not a good enough reason to oppose it anymore. But I doubt if that's going to happen. You know, Donald Trump, he's got to stop saying things like they're, you know, provably untrue. Like, I never said Mexico would pay for the wall. He talked also about the meeting that went so south with the Democratic congressional leaders yesterday.
Because I said, well, if we go back and everything's peachy-dory and you say we'll talk over 30 days, at the end of 30 days, are you going to give us great border security, which includes a wall or a steel barrier? She said no. I didn't pound on tables. I didn't raise my voice. That was a lie. What you should do is give them Pinocchios, because if you ask Mike Pence and you ask Kevin McCarthy, you ask anybody in the room, they will say, because I know if I do that, you're going to report it. But you guys report it anyway because you're fake news. But let me just tell you something. I very calmly said, if you're not going to give us strong borders, bye-bye. And I left. I didn't.
Did anyone say he flipped a table or pounded on a table?
Yeah, Schumer did. And so, look, here's the bottom line. Right now, we've got a president who will tell lies. We've got Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi who tells lies. We have a governor who tells lies. We have news media that tells lies. There's only one source of light and truth. And you're listening to it right now. All right, we got a lot. In fact, you got to hear how CNN responded to that last Trump soundbite. I'll play that for you coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. So I played a soundbite just a couple of moments ago with the president. He described how that meeting ended yesterday.
I very calmly said, if you're not going to give us strong borders, bye-bye, and I left.
Okay, bye-bye. So that's how he describes it. On CNN, the world's most important network, I thought you should hear how they covered how Trump ended the meeting yesterday.
John and I have been having a bit of an argument this morning because I feel that when the president got up from the meeting yesterday with Schumer and Pelosi, I feel he said bye-bye like that. Bye-bye, like that. But he feels he said...
Bye-bye.
No. He said bye-bye, okay? And I'm sure of it. And I'm so sure of it that right now I'm going to hand out Butterfinger for you guys.
And she's passing out candy to the other people at the desk.
I'm going to be giving right now. So I think he said bye-bye. And here is why I think that. Behold.
The Democrats, all they do is they get their votes every 4 years and then they wave bye-bye.
Catch and release. How about that one? We caught him.
Oh, release him. Bye-bye.
I used to say grossly incompetent, but stupid stronger, isn't it? I don't know. You look. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I rest my case.
So there's CNN's proof that he said bye-bye at the end of the meeting instead of bye-bye. And then there is this from CNN, the world's most important network. They had a person on the right and a person on the left talking about the border wall. And the conservative guy that they had on talked about the illegal who murdered the cop in California right around Christmas. Anna Navarro is the liberal. She's like this fake, I used to be a conservative. As the guy is talking about border security and getting to an illegal murdering a police officer, Anna Navarro, it's like a Saturday Night Live skit watching CNN. Have you seen this clip?
No.
She puts her hand up to make sure it's in the camera, and then in her other hand, she has a file, and she starts filing her nails on camera while the other guy is talking about how an illegal murdered a police officer in California over Christmas.
No, but even if that's fake news to say there are not. It's fake news.
It's fake news for you to inject BS and say that it's equal to the real data.
It's not BS. But even if I were to grant you that, okay, the point.
So you hear Anna Navarro. She does the big sigh, and then she starts filing her nails.
Is the illegal alien crime rate.
And then you're the host, Cuomo. She's filing her nails. Like he thinks it's, you know, cute.
Should be zero. It should be. You can do your nails. You know who can't do their nails? Are people who have been killed, Anna, by dangerous, known illegal aliens who've been allowed to stay in this country because of the leftist policies that people like you promote in so-called sanctuary cities.
I'm so tired
to allow
of
them
you
to
calling
hide
me
in plain sight.
Just and because then, you want to compromise
well, I don't care if you're
your
tired
values.
Of it. Go back to
listen. I don't
go
care.
Back to filing
I don't
your
care
nails.
What you call me? To me, you're
but guess
practically
what?
As irrelevant
Officer
as Donald
Singh, well, you
Trump
sure seem
Jr.
to care.
Well,
Officer
no, I don't have to care.
And then an episode of The View broke out.
Singh in California can't file his
you
nails,
love
Anna Navarro. Maybe
you
can. He doesn't have that luxury because he's dead.
When I was the
illegal alien who was twice arrested, who was a known crime member, was allowed to stay in this country because of Miss Augusta.
How does the Cuomo character let that go on for so long? You can't hear what either one of them saying. But what's undeniable is one guy's talking about an issue that's pretty important, illegals murdering cops. And the other person is filing her nails to show her disdain for the topic. And you know, it's a clown show.
And I know that because I've heard her before, or I've seen her before, and I know her issue is when people say that illegal immigrants are guilty of, you know, an increase in crimes when she says when it comes to people who are here, who have immigrated here, the crime rate is much lower.
Actually, she might believe that, and maybe you're just repeating what she said. That's not true, because when I had Mitzi Johanknik, the King County Sheriff, in the studio, I asked her what the crime rate among illegals is, and sanctuary cities, county states have no idea because they don't ask the question, they don't compile the data, and so that crime rate is lower among illegals is a phony stat because they don't keep the crime rate by illegals in places like King County or Washington State or California. By the way, one more quick thing. The wall that the president wants to build, that doesn't fit very well with his college graduation speech that he delivered in 2004.
Never, ever give up. Don't give up. Don't allow it to happen. If there's a concrete wall in front of you, go through it, go over it, go around it, but get to the other side of that wall.
Mr. President!
Well, that's why he wants to use steel.
You gave the illegals an idea, for crying out loud. Fast 15 is next.